things are more emotional and bring families closer together than the sport of football. The athleticism, the brute force, the close wins, and the heartbreaking losses. No team has nurtured that family bond better than the Green Bay Packers, and no place resembles that true football spirit better than the frozen tundra. Many people say you don't become a Packer fan. You're born that way. You bleed green and gold. Now, here are your hosts, father and son, Mike and Sean Reagan, with the Bleeding Green and Gold Podcast.
Welcome to Week 14 edition of Bleeding Green and Gold. I'm Mike.
I'm Sean.
And, wow, it was a strange game.
We're still alive.
We
not dead yet.
Right. Absolutely.
Packers 27, Browns 21. Mm-hmm. Hundley gets another overtime victory, now surpassing, or I think he already might have, surpassing the number of overtime victories Aaron has.
Really?
Aaron has one.
Really? I did not catch that. I did not. Okay.
Yeah, Aaron recently, like right before the injury, got the monkey off his back with the overtime victories. I mean, problem is, partly is he doesn't go to overtime much.
That's true. So, that's a good point.
So it's going to skew the statistics, but.
You know, and just to, as a football fan watching this game, it's like you watch the Browns and it's kind of a helter-skelter team. Mm-hmm. They've got players, but they just don't have a team. And so it would be so
can't put the pieces together.
You know, it's just the as a fan you'd see it and like this. I went and read an article from the Cleveland Times, I think it was, and they were just like, you knew it was going to happen. You knew it was going to turn.
Well, that's at the end of the third quarter. Remember, I said they're still the Browns.
Yes, you did.
So I had hope. It was, you know, not fun to be losing by 14 to the winless Browns going into the fourth, but it was the Browns.
That's why I put on her as a thankfully we had the fourth quarter in a little overtime to catch up for those three quarters where we just kind of fought it out hand to hand. But they're not, I mean, they really are, surprisingly. It's when they talk about, when they say in the NFL, the team that wins, the team that loses, often there isn't that much. I think the Browns are a good example of that. I mean, especially since we had Hundley instead of Rodgers, because I think Aaron would have just carved him up a little bit more. But
they have a lot of talent because they've been drafting high for a long time.
25 years.
Yeah, they're going to have talent on their team. They just need to be able to put it together.
Yep, that's what I mean.
They haven't been able to.
They just don't have a team. So
no, I agree. I was talking to a Packer fan today who didn't get to see the game. His son's in youth sports, so he doesn't have weekends. And
is he a hockey guy?
Basketball.
Oh,
basketball.
Yeah. Same thing.
Yep. And I was talking to him about it, and I was like, yeah, you know, it's a bummer, actually. You missed the game because it was probably the best crappy game I've ever watched.
You put that down. That's a great line. Yeah.
It really was, though. Like, you know, they weren't playing great. There was a lot of things to be frustrated about as a fan, but it was a good game.
I'd say it was a good college game.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, just there was plays where it's like, what? But, yeah.
I also saw, to get the other side of the perspective, I saw a comment by a Browns fan online today where he said, it's been about a year since I've been numb to this team. Nothing's really affected me.
Aww.
And I finally, this Sunday, gave them my heart because we were finally going to beat a team, and we were even going to beat the Packers.
They were.
He goes, fourth quarter, I was all in, edge of my seat. He goes, and they killed me again.
Yeah,
they crushed me again.
That's what
I can't imagine.
So the Browns, literally, I mean, they owned the first three quarters, and then you know we scored
to begin the game, and then they had 21 points unanswered after that until the fourth.
There were times where it just was not pretty. You know, we're just going back to the Hundley stuff, and, you know, I don't know. I go back and forth on how much grace do you give him and how much do you expect. But anyway, how'd you
like to be a Browns fan? Finally think you're going to get a win. You haven't won since, like, last Christmas, last Christmas.
18 games, I think it is.
And then in overtime, you see Kaiser throw that ball straight up in the air.
What was he? Why did
it
take
it almost sack? Felt like he made like a rocket noise as he like whoosh. it was the most Favre thing I've ever seen.
Oh, it was
since
worse.
Favre.
You think that's a Favre?
You forget how bad some of the decisions Favre made was because he was so good otherwise.
You're right.
That was the thing about Favre. It was just a complete 180 where he would be, you know, one of the best quarterbacks you've ever seen, and then the very next play, it's like he's in high school, not quite sure on the rules.
Right. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Well, we did win. We pulled it out. Again, it took overtime.
But we almost lost to the Browns.
Yeah, which is – that's not saying a lot for this team. I was disappointed on the defense. I expected – we'll get into it more in detail, but – you know, we need our defense to step up. I knew Cleveland's defense was pretty good.
Yeah.
I didn't expect their offense to give us that much grief.
Well, I thought we'd get a lot of pressure this game. I thought that we would shut them down on offense because we'd be getting pressure on Kizer, and he wouldn't have a chance to throw the ball because his main receiver is Gordon, who's a deep threat. You got to let the play develop.
Right.
You just got to get pressure on. We couldn't get pressure this game.
Right.
I think we had 2 sacks, but...
Yeah.
We should have had more. We were playing the Browns.
Yeah, exactly. It.
We had 6 last week, was it, or 2 weeks ago?
Let me see here. I'm trying to bring up the stats on here.
Are you going for sacks?
Yeah.
Keep going down.
Okay.
Keep going down.
I'm going there.
All right. You've gone too far.
Dude.
You do this every week, time sacked. We sacked them twice. We were sacked once.
Okay.
I think you search for that stat every week.
I think I do too. I should just put it in my notes.
We should probably look it up beforehand. And every week it's okay. Scroll down.
I know. What are
up,
we?
Down.
Week
up.
14. We're still trying to figure out how to.
Well,
do
it's
this.
Just a list of numbers. How are you supposed to know what any of it means?
Math, the international language.
Not only did we beat the Browns to stay in playoff contention. But the Vikings couldn't get us a win. I said that wrong. I was going to say not only did we barely beat the Browns, but, yeah, the Vikings, if they had beat Carolina. So the big thing with them beating Carolina, for those who don't obsessively follow the Packers and are listening to this as a recap, we are currently in the hunt for a wild card. We're not going to win the division because the Vikings have that wrapped up. We're in the hunt. In the wild card race, and Carolina currently has a wild card spot. They're 9-4. They would have been 8-5 if they had lost to the Vikings this weekend, and we would be 7-6. That means when we play them next week, it would basically be for that wild card spot,
right?
Assuming everything stayed the same after that game. So big game, but Panthers. You know, they squeaked one out against the Vikings. I didn't watch it because we were watching the Packer game, but I heard it was a very good game.
I watched the highlights of it today.
Did you?
And it was a good game. And you know, you got to get a little nervous about, what's his name, the quarterback.
For the Panthers?
Yeah.
Cam Newton?
Cam Newton burned him a couple times, big. And some, in which we've been, for years, that's been our Achilles. But
getting burned
by the quarterback. Yep.
It's not a good Achilles to have.
It's a bad Achilles.
It's probably the worst one you could have in football.
So right now we are, if you go from top to bottom, Philly is in the top spot for the NFC standings. Of course, today they had, we're recording, by the way, on Monday evening.
They lost Carson Wentz to an ACL.
Yeah, wow, that's a...
Out for the rest of the season, likely to miss beginning of next season.
Oh, really? Wow, wow, that's huge. Well, then the Vikings at 10-3, Philadelphia's 11-2, Vikings 10-3, Rams 9-4, New Orleans at 9-4.
Those are the 4 teams leading their respective divisions.
And then the first wild card spot is Carolina that Sean was talking about in Atlanta.
And the main reason we're really gunning for Carolina in the wild card is because we're looking to most likely tie their record and have the wild card, the tiebreaker over them by beating them next week. The problem is we've already lost to the Falcons, who also have a wild card spot.
Right.
So we need to do better than them, or a better record to get their spot, because if we tie them, they get the tiebreak. So we're really looking to get Carolina a spot here. We need to beat them next week and them to lose another game.
Okay. And then how about Matt Ryan throwing three interceptions and they still win the game? That's pretty crazy. But anyway, so in the hunt, so right now Carolina and Atlanta have the wild card spots. Then it's Seattle, Detroit, Green Bay, Dallas, and Arizona. I didn't think Arizona – I was expecting a lot more out of Arizona this year.
Well, they lost Carson Palmer.
Yeah.
For the year. I actually – I did some research on that.
Stop.
We're wasting everything right at the beginning of the podcast, but you know there'll be sound effects later on. Everyone loves the game ball. So here's the year at quarterback in the NFL. To begin the season, before the season started, both Tannehill and Andrew Luck are out.
That's
two
right.
big
yeah.
name quarterbacks That's in
right.
the league.
Okay.
Now that the season has started, here's quarterbacks that have been out for the majority of the season so far or the year,
okay.
the rest of the year. Aaron Rodgers, Deshaun Watson, Carson Wentz, Sam Bradford, Josh McCown, and Palmer.
Carson Wentz just going down.
Just going down.
Yeah.
yeah.
Wow.
That's a lot of names.
For a league that's based on the quarterback.
Yeah. Actually, I wouldn't be able to really give it to you right now, but there's been a lot of debate on if they call it the all ACL team. It's players that have torn their ACL and are out for the rest of the year. If those players could win the Super Bowl. And that was a debate for a lot of the season, you know, just kind of a fun debate for people. But now it's pretty obvious they could win the Super Bowl because it is just superstars.
Were you surprised at how hard the Browns – I mean, the Browns played tough. I mean, they had a lot of energy.
Browns play every game tough. That's Hugh Jackson. That's kind of what he hangs his hat on. We haven't been winning games, but we're playing tough. I think he got signed again because the Browns hopefully have finally realized if you want to succeed in the NFL, you got to stick with the same game plan for multiple years. This carousel of coaches, you're not going to find a good one because you don't give them a chance to succeed. It's not – some coaches can come in and turn around a decent team into a good team in 1 year. You're not going to turn the Browns into a great team in 1 year, 2 years, 3 years.
You know, I think that they need to really look at Oakland when they brought in McKenzie.
Mm-hmm.
And they just said, okay, fix, because he had so much salary cap he had to deal with and all the other issues that they had with veterans that were past their prime. And now the Browns are bringing in Dorsey. I put that up in an article. I thought it was a pretty good article on John Dorsey being signed as the general manager for the Browns. If you ever want to try to stay up on top of stuff, you can check us out at Bleeding Green and Gold. But the only thing I can say is that they just don't have a team yet. They've got a lot of good players, and I could see them turning fast, really fast. If you get somebody in there that knows what they're doing.
Yeah, they have a lot of talent. Kind of the same thing the Vikings have been doing for a lot of years here. You know, not nearly that bad, obviously, but the Vikings have been kind of on the cusp with talent. For a lot of years, they just haven't been able to put all the pieces together, and it feels like that's finally what they did. Zimmer's been able to do that with
them.
And
it's weird that they're doing it with the quarterback they have right now because it's not the one that they were hanging the franchise around. But
we got to get into the podcast after this. But talking about letting a coach get his system working, it made me think of Tom Landry.
Oh, yeah.
With the Cowboys. He came in 1960, hired by the Cowboys, and he told ownership, I need 5 years. I don't care what happens in those 5 years, but after the fifth year, you're going to have yourself a team. So they gave him his 5 years. His first season in there, he went 0-11. Next year, 4-9. Next year, 5-8. Next year, 4-10. Next year, 5-8.
Wow.
So that's his 5 years.
Yep.
That's what he asked for. Then they were 7-7, 10-3, 9-5, 12-2, 11-2, 10-4, 11-3, 10-4, 10-4. Their dynasty started in the 60s because they gave him time.
And the money is so big now. It's
hard
for them.
It's way more
that.
Money than it was back then.
Yeah. All right, so what do you think about the play calling with because you're pretty critical on Mike. I mean, Mike McCarthy calling the offensive plays.
Mm-hmm. Decent this game. I'm going to say decent with play calling, and he did a good job with game time or game management. Which has always been a big issue I've had with him. I think he handled the clock well, which if he hadn't, we would not have gone to overtime.
Right.
And he handled that challenge situation at the end of the game well.
This is so different. We don't usually do this.
Do what?
We're usually not complimenting him on handling stuff like that.
Oh, is it
seems
throwing
like
you
the
off?
More the pressure it goes, the more we're critical.
You're like listening to me waiting to jump on something, yes, but nothing's coming. So at the end of the game there, though, you had a catch by their tight end where it kind of just, the ball rested on his forearm and he was able to curl it in and he got,
right.
I think that was on first down, so it was second and medium after that. Very easy to throw a flag there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to take away the yards, push them back a little bit. You mm-hmm. got you got two challenges and a timeout near the end of the game. What's the chance you're going to need them again?
Right.
He didn't throw it, and very next play, you have a completion for a first down that we then challenged and overturned. If he had thrown the challenge before and lost, we wouldn't have had that timeout to challenge it again. So it's lucky he didn't. Good just game time management, knowing like, yes, it would be nice to have that back, but I'm not sure I'm going to win. And even if we do, we might need that, you know, and if I don't, we might need that later on.
Right.
So I thought he did a pretty good job this
game.
Really
nice. That's a good way to explain it. That was really good.
Well, good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I did have issues with Capers this game.
Mm.
And the thing, every time we talk about Capers, we run into the same issue. We don't know if he's not calling the game well or if it's because he has no personnel. And this game, he loses Kevin King to IR. House is playing beat up, and then House goes out with an injury. So he doesn't have his starting corners.
I really think
it's hard to know who to blame.
I really put it at personnel right now. I mean, he's just trying to put bullets in the gun, and sometimes they don't fire.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you start the game and you hear more injuries in the secondary, it's like, oh, come on.
Yeah, and like I said, I was hoping we'd get more pressure this game. But how much can you blitz when
exactly.
you don't have a secondary, because you're going to leave guys
wide
streaking
open.
Down the
yep.
field?
And they
Josh
did.
Gordon.
Yep.
The other thing is it would be nice to blitz and get pressure so the secondary doesn't have to cover forever. It's mm-hmm. kind of it's that, you know, catch 22 you come mm-hmm. across in a bad defense.
That's right. Well, Brett Hundley actually had a pretty good game. He 35 for 46 at 256 yards and three touchdowns, but still, you know, and I have to say this. He actually looks like a guy that I would expect to what he should look like at this point. But sometimes he makes a play. I love when he scrambles. I mean, boy, that guy's got a good vision when he runs.
Yeah, he had a couple that it felt like he should have been taken down this game. One of them he kind of high-stepped out of. I don't know if you remember that. Another, he got hit in the back. And it's, I don't know if he didn't get wrapped up or something, but they hit him in the back for the sack, and he kind of just ran away.
Yep.
He was like, oh, they hit
okay,
me.
They're here.
I'm leaving. Like, but, yeah, he did make quite a few good plays with his legs this game. Three touchdowns, no turnovers.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think.
That's how you beat the Browns.
What'd you say? He had one sack, was it? That was the kick.
Hundley was sacked once.
Okay. And that was the in the past games. You know, he seemed to be quicker with the ball, and that made a big difference on his decisions. He really didn't have many bad decisions. And again, you wouldn't think a team that hasn't won a game of, what's it, 18 games?
Mm-hmm.
They're tough. They're a good team. I love seeing him scramble, but it also makes you nervous. I mean, this is in college, so.
Yeah, he had a really good game. That third down near the end there, if you remember that, the third down, big third down, end of the game, gotta, you know, come back, and it's just a busted play. He was supposed to flick it out to the left, and instead he held on to it. His, you know, running back's not there, and he gets sacked.
Okay.
That's his sack.
Okay.
That could have been a season killer, that busted play.
That's true.
We got lucky to be able to give the ball back, get it back, and score.
No, I was going to ask you this before we started recording, so now this is going to be not real professional, but when I was looking at stuff in Cleveland, they were talking about that play at the end, that there was a major hold. Did you see that? No?
there's holds on every play.
Every play.
I don't know which one you mean.
Okay.
And there was a lot of plays at the end of the game.
Yeah, I mean, like the last, the one that we scored
the one to Adams,
on the OT.
The overtime Devontae Adams hold.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Okay.
Probably.
Okay.
I'm not going to argue.
Well, you know, and that's
We also interfered with Josh Gordon in the end zone when he should have caught a touchdown, and they didn't call that. That's football. That's the human error.
Mm-hmm.
It goes both ways.
Well, the
offensive line. We got beat up on both sides of the line this game. I felt like offensive line, I thought we'd have struggles in the run game because that's been their most solid thing this year, the Browns, their run defense. But I thought our pass protection would be better than it was. We didn't really let up any sacks, but in the first half, we were letting up a lot of pressure.
Yes.
He was getting pressured fast, you know, having to move around. But they adapted well to that, I think. In the second half, that seemed a lot better. Our offensive line adjustments seem to usually be pretty effective at halftime. I don't know if that's the offensive line coach, McCarthy. I know at some point in the second half, I don't remember quite where it was, Rodgers went and talked to the offensive line. Do you remember
that? Just
took
over, yeah.
He was like, okay, this is what you guys need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And he's coaching Hundley.
Yep. Yeah, which was cool to see. And you could actually feel the momentum change when Aaron started to get more involved. That touchdown, I just wanted to say for Hundley.
There's Rodgers coaching Hundley.
You need to put that up.
I'll put it up on the group. He took over that game.
That tying touchdown at the end of the fourth quarter, that was a pretty play that Hundley had to Mr. Adams.
Mm-hmm.
And and some of that stuff is in correlation with the offensive line, giving him a chance to find him.
Yeah, it makes you wonder, you know, guys take a while to develop when they join the league. It's not a easy process because there's nothing else like it. You can't compare it to college, the speed of it. They talk about that all the time. Makes you wonder how good – we still don't know how good Hundley is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like he could be horrible still, but I also feel like there's a chance he's really good.
Yep. I'm saying right there.
I don't know.
I was listening to an interview with a former NFL coach and former college coach. I can't remember his name. I'm sorry. But he was talking about how these guys coming into the NFL, the college game and the NFL game are so different. And then when these offensive linemen come in, I mean, you've talked about this before. They're not used to actually blocking man on man.
Well, they used to in college, but ever since the spread offense became so popular, they don't need to.
Right.
So they don't teach it.
Right.
It's a waste of time in
college.
Why
would you?
Yeah. You block your guy, man blocking, you just block your guy. That's all you do.
Right.
Or you block left or right. That's all it is.
Push this way, push that way.
So.
But the reason why I bring that up is that I think that it takes them, some guys, 5-6 years in the NFL. You know, they get through, they burn through that first contract that they get.
Well, offseason used to be huge for offensive linemen because it was repetition, and it's all technique at that point once you get to the NFL, and they can't do that anymore. They're not allowed to by the CBA, so you see those issues.
Mm-hmm. Well, on the same topic about offensive line, not a great rushing game.
No, Williams, he was getting hit at the line, it felt like, almost every run. But he ran hard.
I just love his stuff.
Yeah, he's definitely trying to earn a spot.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see why people who had watched him in college were so excited about him at the beginning of the year. And they're like, why is he not getting any touches? Who's this Aaron Jones guy? But, man, we got two good rookie running backs.
We really do. It's exciting.
Williams went 15 rushes for 49 yards, 3.3 yard per run average.
And you know what? I'm okay with that.
That's a decent average in a game where you aren't struggling to run the ball.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that came, though, later in the game. Because at the beginning, I was, you know, thinking we were going to really stick with the run, pound the ball, not take too many chances against them. And we were just getting stuffed. We couldn't do it. And that's why you kind of saw those quick passes, so many quick passes for Hundley, and that's how you get that big, you know, pass total, which I think helped Hundley. It got him into a rhythm.
Yes, I agree. I agree. Well, part of it too with Williams is he also is a threat as a receiver. He did mm-hmm. well with that. He seven receptions for 69 yards. So
a touchdown
and
a receiving touchdown.
Yes, that was nice. So I am just happy with this guy's production. Mm-hmm. He actually even blocks when he's called on to chip a guy.
He's good. I think Jones was only in for two plays this game. I don't think he's fully healthy mm-hmm. yet, so it's good Williams was able to play the whole game. But yeah, he, like you said, I think this is where he showed himself as a dual threat more than he has in the last couple games.
I agree.
We've seen a couple receptions from him, but we haven't seen, you know, a game where it's just as many receiving yards as it is rushing yards. He's becoming
a complete back.
Yeah, he's showing himself to be one, I should
exactly.
say.
Exactly.
Receiving.
Well.
Once again.
Mr. Adams.
Every week that we've had Hundley, Mr. Adams has been our number one receiver. He had 10 receptions for 84 yards and two touchdowns this game.
Is this his last contract year, or has he got another one? Do you know?
Yeah. Yep, last contract
year. Last contract year.
Yeah. We're going to have to pay him.
Oh, he's going to be spending.
We better pay him. I hope we pay him.
So if you had to pick between planning on him or Jordy in your future, because Jordy's contract's not up for a couple of years, I don't think, who would you lean on?
Adams.
You would, yeah.
If I'm building a team?
Yeah.
You go with the younger guy.
Okay. Well, he looks good, though. I mean, it seems like every time we need a play.
Yeah. Yeah, he looked really good. He seems to always be able to come up in those big moments, like you said. And he's fast. He makes guys miss. Even on that last touchdown he had in overtime, when he caught the ball and turned around, there was a guy right there mm-hmm. tackling him, and he spun.
Yes.
And to avoid
for the OT, the overtime, yes.
He caught it and spun it without even looking almost.
It's a beautiful play.
Yeah, it was.
Google that, or Bing or whatever. I mean, but look it up. It actually was. It's just a
Yahoo Answers.
There you go.
Dogpile. That was one, right?
Go to Reddit.
Ask Jeeves. He'll know.
Ask Jeeves. Wow, you make me feel old. Okay, what was the? Okay, I'm not going to even try and top that. That was.
I think Jordy had a good game too.
Yeah, he did. You know, on that touchdown run, Jordy had a nice block on that play at the
Jordy's
end.
Jordy's been having a lot of nice blocks since Hundley's been in there. He's not having those big number games. I still don't think he's broke 40 receiving yards in a game since Hundley's been in here.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I don't believe he did this game. I think it was 34 yards.
I'll let you look it up so you don't get mad at me for scrolling the wrong way.
You don't scroll the wrong way, you scroll slow.
I scroll slow?
33 yards for Nelson. So he still hasn't hit 40. With
Mike,
Hundley,
scroll slow Reagan here.
He plays hard. He gets a lot of those quick outs where, you know, it's third and one, second and short. He gets some where he grinds for those yards up by the sideline.
There was
he
a
has
couple
good
of them.
Blocking. He's a team guy who's continued to play
a
hard.
Farm boy.
He has played hard this whole time.
He could be a hockey player. He's mm-hmm. just a team guy. Yeah. But the good thing I like, there was two passes in particular to Jordy that I thought looked a lot like Aaron. They were tight right in there. That's great to see.
Yeah, and I suppose we should have addressed this in the quarterback section, but it comes down to Aaron's bone density scan he's getting this week on if he can play or not.
Is that an image test that they can just shoot through, like an x-ray kind of thing, an MRI kind of thing? I mean, it's not something they got to cut in.
I would imagine not.
Okay.
No, I think it's just a scan.
I'm not kidding. I'm wondering. I mean, bone density to means like
bone
you
density
take a
scan.
Okay.
So you're scanning it.
Okay.
For a scan.
Just a scan?
Just a scan.
Okay. It's just a scan. That's good.
Yeah.
Okay. Excuse me while I have a sip.
Oh, okay. So it's coming down to the bone density scan results on if Rodgers can play. He's eligible to come back next week since we put him on IR, but he needs to pass that. Yeah. We're recording Monday night, like we said. It came out today that they're still kind of vague on if he can or if he can't, and they're hoping to have a for sure answer tomorrow, Tuesday.
I think they'll play this as long as they can and to keep Carolina off. But
well, it'll be who's taking the reps in practice. That's they don't have to announce it. You'll know based off of that. who's taking the starting reps and who's taking the scout team reps.
Good point.
Allison. Geronimo Allison actually had... He stepped up this game. He had a. Yeah. We haven't seen Geronimo in a while.
No, we haven't.
He became kind of a big name for us at end of last year. It was
Rogers to Allison.
And I think even with Rogers in at the beginning of this year, he was catching balls.
Mm-hmm.
But we haven't seen him at all, really, since Hundley took over. So it was nice to see him in there.
That's a really good point.
Yeah, it threw me off when he did. And
surprise!
It kind of shows you the contrast between him as a player when you have Adams and Cobb, where they'll get the ball, try to make guys miss, and get yards after the catch.
Mm-hmm.
Allison will get the yards after the catch, but he doesn't really make many guys miss. He gets it, and he gets upfield. That's more his style.
Yeah, I would agree with that, yeah. You know, one thing I want to, just to speak in, to go back on Hundley, I have to say, I feel like he...
You're really stuck on Hundley, aren't you?
Well, I just felt, I felt like this game, every game here, the last two, I would say this one and the last one, he doesn't have that stare, he's lost.
The deer in the headlight stare?
Yeah. I saw him walk up into the huddle. He goes, "All right, let's go."
Mm-hmm.
And that's huge. And that's cute. And I think that was after Aaron talked to him. Was because Aaron got in everybody's ear and he's like, "Come on, we have to win this game." And
he was pretty pumped up after the game. You remember seeing him jumping around the field?
Yep.
That was after Adams caught the overtime touchdown, ran into the end zone with it, and then just ran down the tunnel to the locker room. Mm-hmm. Never even slowed down. It's like,
I saw it three times today on TV where they played it. It was like a highlight film.
Him running down the tunnel.
Yep. Yeah.
If you look it up, remind me to show you and put it up on the group. Someone had a camera in the tunnel. They were leaving the field with their camera.
Then
he ran in, so he turned his camera on, and you have like the whole team running through celebrating. And he put on there like, "Warning, grown men like crying and hugging."
That's funny.
So that, yeah, it's kind of a cool view to have the whole team just randomly running through the tunnel when he wasn't expecting it.
I know you got up here on the defense side, you said stop the screen, but how much of that though is personnel? Because there's so many injuries on defense.
Part of it's personnel, part of it's play calling. We talked about it last week where, that's one of the ways you beat a team that has to sell out to get pressure. You beat them with the screen. So, I don't know. We'll see on that. I don't think you can read into it much. I put it on there mainly because of the first half. It was affecting us more. I didn't really notice it in the second half, but from what they did in the first half with their screens, I thought they were going to really pick on us all game with that because it was working, and it has worked for our, last three opponents.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're watching game film on the Packers because you're going to play them, you're going to be like circling screen in your playbook.
And isn't it, it's like I watch a college football game and I see guys tackling, actually wrapping up and mm-hmm. tackling. And then the NFL, they just like run into each other and try to tip the guy over or mess up his legs or something. It's like, why?
Well, you want to know why I think they got away from the screen in the second half?
Yes.
Because they're a bad team. And they have bad coaches. That's the only reason I can think. That's how
what
bad teams do. They make, bad decisions at the end of game.
We could have been that team last week because we gave up on the run when our guy is averaging over 5 yards a run, and mm-hmm. we give up on the run, and we still won.
Yeah, that's the NFL, though.
Mm.
A lot of times you're a catch and a dive and then an inch short of being the hero. It still means you made the worst decision in the world as a coach. There's no gray area for coaching in the NFL. You're either the hero or you're the zero,
So have you heard anything on Kevin King? Because he's out for the year.
He's out for the year. They haven't really announced how severe it is or anything as far as next season or anything. I'm assuming he'll be back, no problem. He has shoulder surgery. Shoulder surgery.
It's not easy.
It's
to
hard
say.
To say.
Shoulder.
So he had shoulder surgery, or he is having it. They did announce he had his shoulder popped out 10 times this season. and he was playing through it.
I did not know that.
Yeah, he was playing through it.
10 times.
Yeah, isn't that impressive?
Oh, man. I've got a bad shoulder. I can't imagine.
Yeah, not good. Yeah, so King was out this game. Devon House was playing injured. He also had a shoulder injury, and he
did go
They announced he was playing because of King being out. He didn't want them to be down both their starting corners. Mm-hmm. And then he ended up going out of the game, too, with an injury. He actually hurt his back. We couldn't tell at all when it happened. You know, he was kind of rolling around on the ground, grabbing everywhere. He's grabbing his arm, his leg, his back, and we're like, oh, okay, like, is he just broken? Like, so it came out today, though. It was a transverse process fracture in his back.
And?
Mike's research.
Well, it's the first thing that came
medical
up on
research.
The Google. So,
not Ask Jeeves.
Back fractures. Lumbar vertebrae are not rare, although it is to be emphasized the bony anomaly. So it's basically a lower back injury. It sounds like it's not horrible, that maybe he can be back in a couple of weeks.
So he didn't fracture a bone or anything, is what that's saying. He fractured kind of like the whole structure of your back, everything working together as a whole. He just threw it off a little. No bone itself is actually fractured.
Have you ever had a back injury?
No.
It amazes me that these guys, because think about that. I mean, no matter anything you do, sitting, standing, laying, running, hitting, it's going to be ouch.
Mm-hmm.
It amazes me these guys can play through these.
They're thinking 1 to 2 weeks. 1 to 2 weeks.
Oh, really?
For him to be back.
That's it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is why I emphasize that it's not a broken bone.
Yeah.
He will be able to come back maybe for the Carolina game. Probably not, since he was also nursing other injuries. I wouldn't imagine he will. So hopefully we beat Carolina, have him back for Minnesota.
Mm.
But in his absence, Randall.
Oh, what a game.
Surprisingly.
Yes.
Stepped up.
He had a game.
Demarius Randall gave up one reception to Josh Gordon the whole time he was on him, and he was on an island with him almost the whole game.
Mm-hmm.
They actually got a bit of a Twitter back and
Did
forth
you see
today.
That?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny. I like Randall's response. That was pretty funny.
Yeah, I don't know what Randall said first. Apparently he said something about having a good game and it rubbed Josh Gordon the wrong way.
Mm.
So Josh Gordon went on Twitter today, and he said, it was a weird tweet because he put down his teammates. He was like, I'm playing on a team with a lot of deficiencies.
Yes.
And you're not even good enough to hold my jock strap on my worst day. And it's like, okay, well, one, don't put down the rest of your team.
Right.
And two, I mean, you can't say that after you had the game you did against the guy. Like, he did cover you. And so I think Randall, all he tweeted back was, you must be on that stuff again.
Yeah.
That got him suspended.
And you would have seen this earlier if you would be with the Bleeding Green and Gold on Facebook, because we posted that in our group.
Yeah, join the group. Mm-hmm. It's a fun time.
It's it was tough. We knew going into this game that it was going to be, the secondary was going to be weak.
Yeah, and we were beat up.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Totally. But it was nice to see him shut Mr. Loudmouth down.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw someone put online, like, okay, like, you're talking about your team's deficiencies, Gordon. We're missing our all-star quarterback. We don't have a secondary,
mm-hmm.
and we have two rookie running backs. Like, mm-hmm. you're not the only one making stuff work right now.
Well, Clinton Dix has been playing great football. Mm-hmm. That interception he had at the end of the game was a game changer.
He's been solid since mm-hmm. he joined the team, since we drafted him. He's been good. It's nice to have the depth at safety, because God knows we don't have it at corner, so at least we have it somewhere in the secondary. Yeah. I can't imagine how bad we would have been losing some of the games we have in the last 2 years without depth at safety.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of depth at safety, Clinton Dix, good game. Burnett, not so much. I think it was kind of an off game for him, because he's so consistent for us, and he was most of the game, but there was multiple plays where I think it was just him making mistakes in the coverage that were letting up plays.
Yep.
So, I agree. You know, that's kind of frustrating to see. And Josh Jones had a couple mistakes in the secondary as well. He's a young guy, though. He's been making mistakes. He's going to, but he's also been making good plays. I still like the intensity that Josh Jones plays with,
yeah.
And he got that interception for us, the one where Kaiser threw it straight up. He's the one that came down with it, so how mad can you be at the guy?
that was such a silly play, but you're better at seeing. I'm kind of a lineman guy. I watch the line a lot. You're able to see.
You like the big boys.
Yeah, I do. Because I always feel like if the big boys do their job, the game's going to turn our way eventually. Probably because being a Wisconsin Badger fan, you know, usually in the fourth quarter we take over the game. So,
yeah.
Well, it's going to be in the Orange Bowl. Woohoo!
One thing I want to point out before we move on from Clinton Dix and Demaryius Randall is the Clinton Dix interception at the end of the first half was huge because it took away them getting 3 points.
Right.
Likely we wouldn't have gone to overtime if that had happened.
Right.
Hadn't happened. Demaryius Randall, that third down that we were just talking about where Kaiser, you know, threw up that horrible pass, that guy intercepted and gave us a chance to tie it to go to overtime.
Right.
That happened because Randall blanketed Gordon. All that play was third and short for the Browns, quick slant to Gordon. Easy, you know, first down happens all the time against us.
Right.
And Randall just blanketed him, gave him no room, like to the point Kaiser didn't even think he could attempt the throw, and then he had nowhere to go, and he started panicking. So, Randall, huge game, probably game of his career.
I would agree.
Against the
you're,
Browns.
You're saying this, and it's like going, I felt really good at the end of the game. I'm like, well, this kid stepped up huge. And did a great job.
Which we've been asking for a while now. Yeah, just a little bit. Yeah, I think as far as the game as a whole for the defense, there was individual players that did well stepping up. The defense didn't play great or as good as they should have. And again, we don't know how much of that is Capers. And I think kind of the spot where you really see that is the pressure that we're not getting on the quarterback, on Kaiser. It's just frustrating, a game like this where you think that should be kind of your main strength.
You know, one of the reasons why I think it's more players than it is scheme, because you watch, especially if you watch the linebackers, and even some of the down linemen on defense, where they're just playing patty cake, you know, they're just kind of holding their own zone defense, I guess would be.
Yeah, they were playing a lot of zone to cover up for the injuries.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I think we're going to see that again against Carolina because you got to watch for Cam to run.
You likely will. And I mean, we didn't get much pressure off the blitz because we just didn't blitz much at all. Which, like we were saying, when you have a secondary that's beat up, you got to worry about your personnel back there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the main reason you don't see blitz as much in that case is you talk about Hundley on offense, how, again, they shrank his playbook to kind of simplify things, let him not worry about doing a lot of things, but doing what he does better. And from what we saw, it worked this game.
I would agree.
You have to realize they're doing the same on defense. You lose your two starting corners, there's a lot of blitz packages that you just set aside because, you know, they don't know it. When you're doing those fancy zone blitzes, fire blitzes that Capers loves, you're doing that because you have your defense in there.
Right.
When you have backups in, you're running zone without blitzing. You're running man without blitzing. And if you are blitzing, it isn't man. So to compensate for those injuries, you have to do zone. Because you're in zone with those injuries, you can't blitz. There's a lot of handcuffs that Capers has been dealing with.
For years. So that's the problem I have. It's like, so how much do you put on the guy and how much do you put on the... How about the organization that's just been looking at putting all the money on the offense, you know, and every once in a while trying on the defense?
And I understand that you're going to stack talent around Aaron Rodgers and you're going to have this powerhouse offense. problem is that's not reliable. Mm-hmm. And we've seen that when everyone is healthy, we have probably one of, if not the best offense in the league. But everyone needs to be healthy for that to happen. And we've had years now of injuries stopping that from, at least for the whole year, really being a thing since, what were we, 14-2 the year after the Super Bowl?
Yep.
I'd say that was the last time our offense really clicked for a full season. I
think it's important to have some players. You know, like we lean on Clay Matthews a lot. But we need more players on defense.
That's what I was just going to say. I think what the front office should have realized probably years before now is the teams that are making these huge playoff runs and, you know, that aren't great, but they still make a playoff run or they have great years, it's because they have a great defense and their mediocre offense can do enough.
Right.
So if we could have a good defense and Aaron Rodgers on offense, we don't need a ton of talent around them. We just need Aaron Rodgers there.
Exactly.
And to have a
good
offensive
line, somewhat of a run, and good defense.
To just be able to slow other teams for Aaron to outscore. Mm-hmm. But, you know, hindsight's 20/20. It's
not
going to change anything.
I mean, my thing on this, if we do this, because this has happened before, mm-hmm. if we do the same thing, if we just go status quo, we're just going to keep doing what we did, that's really going to upset me. And that's where I'm going to feel like we need to make a regime change or something, because we learned from this. We should be better. We need more talent. We need more skill.
We do. We don't have those big names on defense. Our biggest name on defense is Clay Matthews, and I don't think he'd be a huge name on our defense if we had other stars.
Or short hair.
Not to knock him, because he has been playing well. I think I believe he's had 5 sacks in the last 3 games here, so, you know, that's hard to complain with.
Right.
But I think we're seeing the difference between healthy Clay Matthews and unhealthy Clay Matthews, and the problem is we rarely get this healthy Clay Matthews anymore.
After the second or third week, all right, let's move on to special teams. Let's talk about, because it was actually a really good game for special teams.
It was. I had a good feeling on that punt return. So we
called it.
Yeah, when we forced them to punt in overtime. It was overtime, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Forced them to punt in overtime, and I told you, I was like, I feel good about this. This could be a touchdown. Wasn't quite a touchdown, but it was.
Well, you've been talking about Davis. Then you're just like, it just, every time he catches 65. It, you think he's going to break it. Every time you catch it, you think he's going to break it. He almost broke it, but man, it was.
A lot of people
don't
realize how explosive he is, because he has a lot that are very close to getting broken, and then a few already this year that have been called back, long runs that have been called back. So he is doing it consistently.
Mm-hmm.
So getting the punt in overtime, he runs it 65 yards.
Crazy.
And not easily. It's not like he caught it and had a lane. He caught it, ran to the side, 5 or 6 Browns follow him, and he puts his hand down in the grass like Sandlot, like the kid in Sandlot. You remember that movie?
Yes.
He's like the kid in Sandlot playing, what do you call it in baseball where they're stuck? Pickle.
Pickle. Okay.
Like he's playing pickle with the beast. You have 5 or 6 Browns coming at him, the dog pound, and
well,
he
you're
puts
bringing
his hand
all kinds
down,
of references,
reverses
man.
It,
yeah, he
and
did.
He's gone. Mm-hmm. It was, I mean, he gets close to that every game, and he stepped up in this one when we needed him.
And it's just like, I'd like to see him. I can't wait to see him break one all the way, because I don't know if we've seen his top gear yet. I mean, he gets in his open, and then he just shifts to another gear, and then sometimes he's got another one.
He's very shifty, though, too. He can move laterally very fast.
We haven't had a runner like that in years for returns. We've sorely needed.
Well, we didn't even have one when kick returns were still a thing, before they moved the returns up. We didn't have one even then, when teams had return specialists. That was your one role on the team.
Mm-hmm. Well, he had that, the one we're talking about, at the end of regulation, it was 65 yards. And then Vogel, another solid game, 4 punts, almost 42 yards on average. He had a long of 55. And Crosby being Crosby, 3 extra points.
No field goals. Hmm. Yeah. It's been kind of a It's been a bit of a breather for Crosby, getting him ready for the home stretch here. He hasn't done much the last 3 weeks. He had that one game where they threw him in for the ridiculously long field goal.
Yeah, Mike McCurdy.
But since that game, I think the next game after that, he didn't even have a kick, did he? Because the game after that, we got shut out by the Ravens.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. Well, you know, and that's one of the things they always talk about, how long is a quarterback going to last in the league? You know, 40-plus years. It's like, kickers should be able to kick into their 60s. I mean, how often are they out there?
Well, some of them do. Vinatieri's been in the league how long?
And he's still doing it.
Gostkowski.
Oh, for Oakland?
Yeah. Oh. How long was that guy in the league for Detroit?
Remember.
He's retired now, but you remember him? I can't remember his name right now.
I can't.
He was in the league like 60 years, so that probably made him, 78 when he retired?
Well, hey, we won.
We did win. Final thoughts. My final thought is we won and we're still alive.
And
Rodgers could be back next week.
Yep.
Rodgers could be back next week.
What was that?
Rodgers could be back, RELAX, next week.
So who are we cheering against now? We're cheering against, well, of course, Carolina we play next. We got to cheer against Atlanta, right?
Yeah. So mainly who we're cheering against here is, we need Atlanta to lose two of their final games on their own here. So that'll be a difficult one because they have been, you know, very good in this the last few weeks here. They have struggled.
Yeah, we got a couple of good ones coming up.
But their defense has looked better than I would have expected. We're really kind of counting on beating Carolina and then Carolina losing after that. So they play us next week.
Okay.
We beat them. We're one game behind with the tiebreaker.
Okay.
And then they play at home against the Buccaneers. You know, not a great game, but Jameis could win it. He's the gunslinger, Jameis, famous Jameis. And then their final game of the year is at Atlanta.
Oh, it could be a good game.
Yeah, so that could be the loss we're now counting on because the Vikings didn't beat them. What I'm hoping for is the Falcons need to win that game. We don't want that to be a puff game for the Falcons because we want them to play the Panthers hard.
Good point. Okay.
So that's where we are at this point in the season with the wild card.
All right. Are you ready for the game ball? It's your turn.
All right. Let's go. I wanted to give it to Demarius Randle because we've been so hard on him.
Yeah.
I wanted to give it to Mr. Adams
because
he's been so good.
Uh-huh.
But I gave it to Jamal Williams. Congratulations.
Oh! He deserved
it. Yeah, great game for him. Just running, passing, and not even really the numbers is where it is. It's just those grinded out yards where he puts down the shoulder, takes on three guys and pushes them back 3 yards.
When it looks like he's stopped, and then all of a sudden it's just that there's another 2.5 yards that come out of it. So, yeah, I totally agree. It's a good pick. Do you want to talk about some of the games, some of the bigger – I was surprised on a couple of them. So you go first. What surprised you?
Well, I don't know about surprise, but a big game was Falcons over the Saints.
Mm-hmm.
Big game. I don't know what to tell you. That's just a heavy hitter.
Thursday night game.
One of those powerhouse matchups.
Yep. Yeah. They both play each other really tough.
We talked about Carolina winning over Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
That's what you put on the script.
It is what I put on it. Bears beat the Bengals 33-7. I guess
actually
that's surprising.
There were some interceptions and stuff.
I didn't watch it.
Okay, I watched the highlights. That's me. Mr. Clubhouse.
San Francisco beat Houston. I believe that's 3 in a row now for their new quarterback coming in, Garoppolo. Kansas City finally won again against Oakland.
Dallas over the Giants 30-10, and it's like Eli's
that was close
back.
Till halftime.
Was it?
Close through the first half. Dallas had to win that game, and they did. Jets lost McCown. He's been playing well for them, so they got shut out by Denver.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big win for Denver.
And then the last three here, we have Jacksonville beat Seattle. That's a big one. Jacksonville's just been solid all year. They have
great
shutout defense,
yep.
And they can run the ball and throw it a handful of times with Bortles.
It seems weird to say Jacksonville, good team in the same.
Can you imagine if they had a quarterback?
Oh.
Because I know Bortles has been having an okay year, but he's having an okay year because of where they get the ball. They run the ball 90% of the time, so by the time he throws it, it catches them off guard. It's play action almost every time he throws it. It's the perfect scenario for Bortles to succeed. They've built this team around how do we win if we have Bortles. and Philly beat,
almost 80 points in that game.
Yeah, it's a high-scoring game.
Philly over Los Angeles
Philly
Rams.
Beat the Rams 43-35. Great game. It was exciting the whole way through, close the whole way through. Unfortunately, Carson Wentz went down with a torn ACL at the end of the game. Likely, like we said, missing beginning of next season. So it's just tough. It's been a while since they've had a real contender in the mix, probably since Mike Vick, I would guess.
I would think so, yeah.
Because Donovan McNabb throwing balls in the dirt wasn't going to win them a Super Bowl. So it's been a while, but they're 11-2. They're number one in the NFC at the end of the year, and to lose your stud quarterback is a bummer. Look, Foles is a good backup. He's led the team before. He can do it again. I don't know if he can win them a Super Bowl, but.
Did you watch the game last night at all with Pittsburgh?
I did not.
Pittsburgh and Baltimore. Pittsburgh over Baltimore, 39-38.
I followed it a little bit on my phone, and then I stopped following the score. There was 9 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and Baltimore was up by 14. So I figured it was over.
Okay, there you go.
I was wrong.
Well, by the way, before we shake out of here, just want to remind you, if you ever are in need of any voice work, any voiceover, voice acting, give me a shout. You can check it out at voiceguynextdoor.com. It's voiceguynextdoor. Do it all for you. I can do the any commercials, any phone stuff, any videos, any training. Voice guy.
What about my Harlequin romance novels?
Oh, absolutely.
You'll voice those?
I can do male and female.
It's all female. I don't write male characters. So
you got me.
Hope your voice is ready.
Yeah, ready.
That was more Mickey Mouse.
Oh boy.
And also, you know, join.
Really nice article on the, by the way.
Thanks. I was actually pretty proud of this last one because all my predictions, keys to the game for the NFC North matchups, pretty much ended up being the keys to the game.
Pack to the future.
PackToTheFuture.com is the website. You can also find our show on there. We're, you know, lucky enough to be one of the Packer radio shows.
Thank you.
On there. And you can also check out the NFC North Report weekly article. Goes up midweek, and it just kind of gets you ready for the upcoming week in the North.
Oh, that's really nice. You did. And part of it, why I was giving you props on it, is because watching the games, having read that before, really helped. Because keys to points to the game to watch.
Oh, well, I'm glad. So, yeah, check that out. It's on PackToTheFuture.com. It's the NFC North Report. You can also find it on our Facebook group, which you would know if you were on the group. So go on Facebook. Just type in Bleeding Green and Gold, your favorite podcast. And the group is right there. Just hit join and become part of the conversation. We'd love to hear from you. We want feedback. We want your questions that you want on the show, you know. Mm-hmm. We don't have to be the only two voicing our opinion here.
That's
people
right.
are probably sick of us.
Yeah, we could actually even, if you want to, just we can record you with an audio. Are you ready for the picks?
Yeah, or if you send in
a
voicemail or something, we could get that set up here.
Yep.
So you are now up by two on the picks. You were up by three going into it. We differed on one pick. So we both picked the Vikings to beat the Panthers. We were both wrong. We both picked the Bengals to beat the Bears. We were both wrong. I really should have picked against you last week. We both picked the Packers to beat the Browns. We were both correct. So where we differed was the Lions and Buccaneers game. Mm-hmm. I took the Lions, and I was correct.
Mm-hmm.
So you are now up by two in week 14.
All right. Well, so who do you want to go first, you or me, on the picks for this week?
Let's see here. You go first.
Okay. Bears at the Lions. Lions.
Lions? Okay. I'll go Bears.
They had a
Bears. Bears are going to upset them.
Okay. Bengals at Vikings. Do you want me to go or you go?
Oh, I'll go. You don't get to keep going.
Oh, okay.
I'm taking Vikings. I don't think you can take the Bengals.
No, I can't.
Especially after the last week.
I'm with Vikings as well. And then Packers and Panthers.
Packers
here's,
at
here's
Panthers.
Where you can make a move.
It is. Who are you picking?
Packers.
Packers. It's all right.
You picking Packers too?
Yeah, I'm picking the Packers. If Rodgers is back.
That's the big if.
Because if Rodgers is back, he's going to burn the league to the ground.
Can you imagine how
guarantee you he is mad.
Yeah. He's always had a chip on his shoulder.
Yeah. He's got bags of chips on his shoulder. Honestly, if he's back this week, I think we could see something special. You know, he lit the league on fire last year when he decided to run the table. It's kind of what it felt like. He decided, I'm going to start winning every game. And then we did.
Mm-hmm.
I could see him coming in and just being Aaron.
We need a lot of help to get to the playoffs.
We need Aaron back.
But I can see us winning against Carolina and the Vikings and Detroit.
I can too. Carolina and the Vikings are obviously going to be the toughest stretch, but even going to Detroit for the final game is not going to be an easy game.
Right.
So we need to win out, and we need some help from Carolina, or help from the Falcons to beat Carolina last week of the game, okay. Or some other nonsense. That's just the most likely scenario.
Yeah.
It's just like last year. It's an exciting end of the year. We're running another table.
At least we are in the run. You know, when Aaron left, it's just like, let's just stay in it. And so if he can make it back, and we have.
We stabilized.
There. Yeah.
We're on life support, but we're not gone. We're still here. And so let's say we make it. What team wants to see Aaron in the playoffs?
No, nobody.
Nobody.
Nobody. All right, till after the win against Carolina.
Go, Pack, go!
Thank you for listening to the Bleeding Green and Gold podcast with your hosts, Sean and Mike Reagan. Make sure to subscribe and check out the website at bleedinggreenandgold.com. Join the Facebook group. All questions and comments are welcome. Send them to feedback@bleedinggreenandgold.com. And until next time, go, Pack, go!